Well, you're all looking rather nice this afternoon. It's good to see you. Looks like you had a nice lunch. Things went well. That's good. But the best is right now, as we had earlier. And that is you came back together. We came back together because we had an appointment. And it is important that everyone makes their appointments. You know, I like it when somebody says, here is something we want done. And I always like to be early for an appointment. I'd rather be an hour early than 5 seconds late. I mean, that's just who I am. I just don't like. And so when I make an appointment with somebody else and I expect them to show up, then if they say I'm going to be there, I want them to be there. There's a fellow who came by the house by the name of Manny Berry a couple of weeks ago. And Manny came by and he said, I see that you have some trees that need a little work on them. I said, okay. He said, I'll be more than happy to take care of it for you. And then I'll be back this afternoon and pick them up. And I said, I think that's great. So we worked out a contract. And so the trees came down and the limbs came off. And so then he laid all the stuff out in front of the house. And I thought, this is great. Because, you see, I got a new truck, and I didn't want to put those things in the back of my truck and get the first scratch on it. And so that afternoon, I thought, well, this is good. He'll get them all out, and they'll be good. Well, it didn't come. Being the kind of guy I am, the next morning, I said, you must have forgotten me. He said, we'll be there. I said, all right. Every time I called Mr. Berry, and I know better. I know better than when somebody comes by the house to just let them do something, unless you get it all in writing all day. Well, I didn't do it this time. So 2.5 weeks later, I had to take my brand new truck and throw those limbs in it. And as soon as the first limb went in, it just hurt. There goes a scratch. But you know, by the time it got down to the fifth load of stuff, that's how much was out there, it didn't seem to matter so much. But I talked to that guy on several different occasions in a very kind way. In fact, I was very kind, very loving, strong at times, about how he ought to keep his appointments and not make appointments that he is unwilling to keep. So if a man by the name of Manny Berry comes by your house, you may want to have a longer discussion with him than what I did. All of us have appointments. Many of you right now have in your smartphones or the calendar you have at home, you have appointments for this or for that. You know, I have an eye appointment that's coming up. I have a dermatology appointment that's coming up. I've got all these different appointments that come up. I've got things I do every month, and so I write them down so that I might know them. How are you at writing your appointments down? How well are you at keeping appointments? Sometimes what happens is we make an appointment and we'll say, well, it really doesn't matter whether I make it or not. You may call up some beautician and make an appointment to have your hair cut. And then it comes time to have your hair cut and you say, well, I think I'll call and tell them I'm not coming. Well, that's not fair to them. Because you made an appointment and they failed to make to fill that appointment, and they're going to be out money because you didn't make your appointment. How good are you at making appointments? I hope that you are good at making them. You say, why are we talking about that? Because I want to talk about appointments. That's the topic of this evening, or this afternoon. And it is 5 appointments that God has made for us. Sometimes when I go to the doctor and I need to go see someone else, they will tell me, now the receptionist is going to make an appointment for you with this other doctor. And I really appreciate that, you know. It means I don't have to go through all the rigmarole, and all I have to do is write the thing down and then fulfill the appointment. You need to understand that there are appointments that God has made for you and made for me. There are at least five that I want to discuss with you this afternoon. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, there are three appointments that God made. Three appointments that He's made for each one of us in this room. And you don't have any choice about it whatsoever. Normally, we don't like someone making appointments for us. But when it comes to God, God has made three appointments at least that we will not fail to keep. Now, there's some other, a couple more that He's made for us that I get to decide as to whether or not I'm going to keep that appointment or not. And I'd like for you to ask yourself the question, whether I have to keep it or don't have to keep it. Am I willing to let God make appointments for me? And am I going to fulfill those appointments? I'm going to start with the very last appointment that God has made for you. And that is, He has made an appointment for eternity for you. This, again, is the very last appointment that will be made for you and made for me. And it deals with eternity. It deals with where we're going to be after this life is over. And whether we like it or not, we will keep this appointment. There is no way, no shape, no form that is going to keep you from being a part of that appointment. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew 25, we find it's speaking of judgment there. In Matthew 25 and there verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." We have an appointment with God in eternity. And there's only two places in which you and I can go. There is no in-between whatsoever. One of these, I won't say days, but days end when the earth ends. So it won't be days as we know it, but I'm going to use the term day. On that, understandingly, I hope. On that day, when you're going to start eternity, though eternity to some degree doesn't have a beginning or end, you understand how I'm using it. Sometimes it's hard to say words that I need words to help explain words. But anyway, when eternity begins, you will either go to heaven or you will go to hell. You can affect which place you're going. In fact, what I'm doing right now, as well as you, you are determining and help God determine just exactly where we're going to be in eternity. And the question I would ask you right now, in this last appointment that you have with Jehovah, are you going to be in heaven with God, rejoicing in His presence forever or forever and ever? Or are you going to be in the eternal hell where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? I have an appointment with eternity. And I don't care how hard I try, I won't miss this appointment. You may miss one tomorrow in this secular world in which we live. You may not make an appointment with a class. You may not make an appointment with a client. You may not make a lot of different things. But let me tell you, dear one, when it comes to this appointment, you will be there. Nothing else. You will be there. You, myself, in reference to this appointment, I will either be in heaven or I'll either be in hell. And I am convinced, seriously, as you're sitting there in the audience, as I'm standing here, that you have some general idea where you think you would be if eternity began today. But if your thought is the wrong one, you have the opportunity to change it right now. Have an opportunity to change in what direction you will go in eternity. That's the last appointment that you'll ever make. But then,
before eternity, there is another appointment that one must make. And that is, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians 5 and there verse 10. You're familiar with the passage. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, no one's going to be excused. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I want to go on into the next passage because it is one that is often overlooked. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. Paul said, one of the reasons that I go about and I tell the people about the gospel of Jesus Christ is I know what it means to fall into the hands of a living God unprepared. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, as we said in reference to eternity, you have no choice. No choice whatsoever. You will be at this appointment. You can't run away from it. You can't hide from it. You can't deny it. You can't anything. And you will not be even one moment late. It is the appointment of judgment. Again, going back to Matthew 25 and verse 32, as well as Acts 17 and there verse 30. I want to read Acts 17 in particular. And again, these are passages that you and I are familiar with. As it says in Acts 17, as Paul writes, is with the people of Athens, he said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now command all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why should every man change? Why should every man live a godly life? Because he hath appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. There is going to be a resurrection time. There's going to be a time in which we stand before the Lord, all because Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary and was resurrected, proving himself to be the Son of God with power. I'm going to be there. It is a universal appointment. Every man, woman, and child, young or old, is going to be there. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I've been in courtrooms before. It's always been a little shaky. Not that I stood before one, but I've watched others. And you could tell many of them were scared silly, wondering what that judge was going to say. And then when he normally speaks, sometimes there's relief and there's joy. You can hear it. And other times you hear the weeping, not only of the person, but of the family and friends, as they gasp that here's a man who has been committed to death or life imprisonment. I wonder what our reaction will be on the day of judgment as we make our appointment. As we make our appointment with the Lord to answer for how we have done while on this earth. So we have eternity. We have judgment. But before judgment, there's something else. And that is, we have an appointment with death. We have a nephew, Joel Sloan, who's dying of cancer. It's just a matter of time before Joel leaves us. He's fought real hard for the last year. Colon cancer, 4 stages. It's in all of his other parts now.
And there's not a thing we can do. I remember when Mom and Dad were dying, and Cynthia's mom and dad were dying. Prayers were offered, hopes and wishes were there. But there wasn't a thing that we could do. Beloved, let me tell you, if the Lord tarries, we're going to die. We can make all kinds of preparation except the right one sometimes. I kid with Larry, when you go by the cemetery here on Main Street, you can see the Morgan tombstone already up. I sort of smile every time I go by there. It's been a year or so ago, maybe not quite that long, I told him he had neighbors already moved in. We go to a lot of trouble of preparing for taking care of the physical body. But let me tell you, as it appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Nobody looks forward to the day in which they're going to die normally. Now, you may have some, but as a whole, we sort of like to stay upon this earth just as long as we can and enjoy the blessings that are found there. So if I'm going to have to die, isn't there something that I can do that's going to make it just a little bit easier on me and on others? One of the hardest things I do is a funeral ceremony. How in the world do you get the sadness that these people have? I have a family member who was not righteous in any way. He didn't pretend to be, didn't want to be, but he had 8 children. And you know what those 8 children wanted from me? They wanted me to say to them, you know, Daddy's in heaven, isn't he? Daddy's okay. But you see, Daddy had not prepared for death. It wasn't the children's fault. It was that Daddy did not prepare himself. In 1 Corinthians 15, and there verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The resurrection is coming. And I must have hope now, because I'm going to die. Understand, my days are limited based on my age, but yet I could go today. For those of you who are very young could go today. There are no guarantees. God hadn't picked out the day that you're going to die, nor the manner that you're going to die. But choices we make throughout our whole life is determining just when we will. And some of it is made by others as they turn their cars into us, or they run over us when we're walking, or when a bomb blows up in a military situation or non-military. We're all going to die. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'd like to read that with you as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and there verse 16 and 17, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort ye one another with these words." It is a great source of comfort. A great source of comfort to know when someone has hope. Another good friend of mine sent me a message this morning about her sister who had just passed away. I've known this young woman for 30, 35 years. And she tried once or twice in that length of time to do right. But other than that, her life was one of misery. Her marriage relationship was terrible. There was drugs involved, smoking involved. And it was interesting that some of the people that were writing in response to this were saying, may she rest in peace, and a lot of other things that were contrary to all that was right. She was not prepared to die. And what is so interesting, just two or three days before, her nephew had died with a massive heart attack. Little did she know. Little did this family know that in a short period of 3 days they would lose two family members, both who were unprepared for death. All do not die in the same condition. Some die righteously and some die ungodly. There is no in between at our death. We're either righteous or we're unrighteous. And if somebody hasn't told you lately, let me be one to tell you. You're going to die. And there's not a thing that you can do about it unless the Lord tarries. You're going to die. There's your appointment. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's your appointment. And you're going to be in eternity somewhere. There's your appointment. And all of those appointments have been made with God. And there's not a thing that you or I can do to miss them. This is just the way it is. But can I affect those three other appointments? Is there some way that in working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, can I help myself with two other appointments that God has made for us? And the first one is, we have an appointment with worship. God created us for the very purpose of worshiping Him and honoring Him and giving Him the glory. You see, He wants you to come home. Now let me tell you, we have a duty and responsibility, though it ought not to be that to us, of being at worship. We ought to worship God every day that we live. Every day that we get up, we ought to thank God for the day, thank Him for the restful night, and may we live this day in such a way that we will honor and glorify God. We often quote this passage when we talk about worship in John chapter 4, where the woman was discussing with Jesus the difference between her and the Jewish people. And it begins with verse 23 of John 4. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. God wants us to worship Him, but He doesn't make us. He didn't force you to come this morning. He didn't force you to come this afternoon. He'll not force you Wednesday night, gospel meetings, and other opportunities of worship. He will not make you worship Him. For what value is it when you have to make somebody keep an appointment? He wants us to come. He wants us to come freely. A man may choose not to obey. We get to make that choice. But then the Lord is going to come. There's a great price to pay when we don't keep this appointment. Because you see, Jesus is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's an appointment that we have. Those who love the Lord will keep every appointment humanly possible. We'll do our best upon best. We won't let anything stand in our way. Family, friends,
other appointments. For it's important.
God wants me to worship Him. He desires that I worship Him. He seeks such. President Garfield was elected in 1880, and he was a Christian. He was told on a Sunday morning that a foreign ambassador was waiting to see him. That's pretty important stuff. A foreign dignitary. His reply was, "The ambassador will have to wait. I have a more important appointment with my Lord." The Encyclopedia International, saying in reference to Garfield that he was a man of strong integrity, uncompromising, and honest. Paul tarried at Troas for the very purpose of breaking bread. He knew the importance of worshiping God. I wish that preacher had quit talking about our coming. About we ought to attend more and attend better. I wished he wouldn't say that we have to come on Sunday when I've got a ball game. Or when I've got something else that's so important to me. Any preacher, beloved, any preacher that's worth his salt is going to tell you that you have an appointment with God at worship. And that there is nothing else in your life that is more important than your worship to God. Because you see, if you're unwilling to worship Him now, here is a choice that you get to make. If you're unwilling to worship Him now, do you think when it comes time for your death, the judgment and eternity, that all is well? I think not. God again has commanded us. But we get to decide. And how I decide this one may very well alter all the other appointments that God has made for me. Isn't it serious? We talk about the tree man keeping his appointments. A lot more important things. The appointments that God has made for us. One final one, and that is that God has an appointment with us in reference to baptism or immersion. We turn to Galatians chapter 3. It doesn't matter what your preacher may say, what a group of people might say who have gotten together and who have denied the importance of being immersed into Christ. When Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Ephesians 1:3-4, it tells us that all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. Because His blood was shed for you and for me. And it is in baptism, Romans 6:3-4, that I contact that blood that was shed. They were told on the day of Pentecost to be baptized. Approximately 3,000 of them were in verse 41. The Apostle Paul, as he's praying and fasting in Damascus, Ananias comes to him and basically says, "Get up, stop that. Arise, be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Any individual who has not been baptized into Christ that's reached the age of accountability, any individual who has not done that, they're not ready for their death. They're not ready for the judgment seat of Christ. And they're not ready for eternity. And baptism is only for penitent believers. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. And the question that we must ask, because the answer to this question is simple, and you know the answer, and that is, are you a penitent believer? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? If you have, then you're starting on that road that will direct the rest of your life. You'll make the other appointments that God has made for you. You'll make the appointment of worship. You'll make the appointment of death. You'll make the appointment of judgment. You'll make the appointment of eternity. And you can make them all with joy in your hearts because you did it God's way. Be it understood, you have right now at your disposal the opportunity by being here. Number one, you're saying, I want to worship my God. And prayerfully and hopefully, that's exactly what we've done. Many have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. That's why we're here, because we obeyed the Lord. We met that appointment. But there's some here in this assembly that are not ready for the appointment of God in reference to judgment, death, or eternity. And beloved, you're that way right now because you choose to be that way. I think it can be safely stated that what we want for each other is heaven. To be with God forever and ever. And so may we live in such a way that when it comes time for us to stand before that judgment seat of Christ, we'll hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. In other words, come on home. If for whatever reason you have decided that you want to live in the world, you want to act like the world, you want to go back to where nothing is there that is of any value, you have the opportunity right now. Don't you put it off. For you put it off. Again, that young woman I was talking about, she's probably about 45 years old or less. My nephew is 41 or 42 years of age. Let's make sure that all the appointments of God, we meet them, and we meet them joyfully. Think of that as we stand in that.